Our text today will be Mark chapter 8 and verse 36. We'll come back to Matthew 16 this morning. But an important verse in the Word of God, Mark chapter 8 and verse 36. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? We live in a day of secularism. We live in a day in which society has forgotten that man is a living soul. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, the Bible tells us, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Man became a living soul. You know, the real you just lives inside of your body. Your body will die. Your body will perish. The physical is not the most important thing. In 2 Peter chapter 1, the Apostle Peter gives us this picture of life. In 2 Peter chapter 1, in verse 14, verse 13, the Apostle Peter says, yea, I think it meet as long as I am in this tabernacle. I like that. He said, as long as I am in this tabernacle. You know, the real Peter lived in that body. And he identifies himself as the I that just lived in his body. That body, he said, as long as I'm in this tabernacle or this tent, this temporary house, it says, verse 14, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle. And of course, that refers to his body. You're going to put off this earthly body. But you know, the real Peter is still there. The real Peter is just living in this body. And of course, the Apostle Paul emphasizes the same truth in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians 5 and verse 1. And notice how he identifies himself. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle we were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made in hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with the house which is from heaven. If so, that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. The we. You know, the we. Who's the we? The we is us, the believer. And what do? We just live in this body. We just live in this body. This body's temporary. This body's going to die. This body's going to be dissolved. It's going to be turned to dust. But the real you and I lives on. You know, we are souls. Souls, that's who we are. And that's the real you and I. So important for us to think of reality of who the real you is. A soul is a person, a spiritual being, made by God in His image and responsible to God. That's a soul, a real person, who is a spiritual being, made by God in His image and responsible to God. It's interesting how the word soul is used in the Bible. When the Bible is recording the people who went to Egypt from Canaan to Egypt to be with Joseph, Genesis chapter 46. Genesis 46 and verse 27. It's interesting how God calls all those people, He calls them souls. Genesis 46, and the sons of Joseph, which were born him in Egypt, were two souls. All the souls of the house of Jacob, which came into Egypt, were 70. It didn't say 70 people. It said 70 souls. And it gives us the right perspective of humanity. Gives us the right perspective of who we are. All the people were called souls by God. Now, the Bible has some interesting things to say about man, his responsibility to God. And he emphasizes that when he uses this word soul. Leviticus chapter 4, just some examples. Speaking of a man, a soul is meant to have fellowship with God. A man is a moral being, a spiritual being. Meant to worship God, have fellowship with God. Leviticus chapter 4. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a soul shall sin. If a soul shall sin. Didn't say if a person shall sin. Now, obviously, that's included. But if a soul. It emphasizes the fact that man is a spiritual being, is responsible to God, and he just merely lives in this body. Some other places, Leviticus chapter 5. We'll see that word soul many times in the book of Leviticus. Chapter 5, and if a soul sin and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he wist or knew it not, yet is he guilty and shall bear his iniquity. What a great verse this is. Even if a person does not know what they are doing is wrong, the Bible says that person, that soul, is guilty. And that certainly helps us understand the problem with many different kinds of psychological and mental illnesses is related to the fact that man is a soul. And even if you don't know what you're doing is wrong, it's still wrong. It's still wrong before your Creator. It's still wrong. And It's a blemish on that soul. And the Bible says in this case, it says, boy, even if he didn't know it was wrong, when he finds out it's wrong, you better take care of it. Better take care of it. Better get it cleansed by the blood. Leviticus chapter 17. Verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Of course, from the beginning of the Garden of Eden, the prophecy of the seed of the woman was going to have to bruise the head of Satan, to the fact that God slew an innocent animal, shed his blood to clothe Adam and Eve. Of course, the penalty of sin being death. You take of this fruit, you shall surely die. And of course, the Lord Jesus. God commendeth his love toward us, and while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. The whole emphasis that man is a soul, and that soul speaks of his spiritual nature, his spiritual being, made in the image of God. It's interesting today that we have a lot of courses on psychology. But most courses on psychology emphasize the mind. But the Greek word psychology is the Greek word comes from psyche, which means soul. Soul. You are a living soul, and kind of gives us a picture of the departure from modern society into a secular society, when it has really changed the whole concept about the fact of the soul. It's fun talking to students at the university once in a while. I find one that says they're majoring in psychology. And I will say, well, what's that all about? And they'll probably say something about mind, you know. And I said, do you know anything about that word psychology? And they'll say, you know, some answer that isn't correct. And I says, no, it means word about the soul. And, of course, guess what? What is the book about man's soul? Right here. Amen? You want to know what the soul is all about, this book has got the answer. Now, the Bible tells us in the text, say, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And it reminds us today that there is a tremendous neglect of the soul of man. There's a tremendous neglect for the soul of man. And the Bible, of course, gives us some famous illustrations of people who neglected their soul, but to put all their emphasis on their body. All their emphasis on that which refers to their body. Of course, we have two famous ones in Luke chapter 22. in Luke chapter 12. This one, of course, is a parable, but the Lord gave this parable. It says, the ground, Luke 12:16, the ground of a rich, certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. Kind of sounds like storage buildings. Thank the Lord for storage buildings, right, Rainses? Okay. But you know, one of the most profitable industries today is building storage buildings. And and what are those storage buildings for? We got three car garages now. What are three car garages for? You know, what are storage buildings for? It's for people to store their stuff, right? It's to store all the stuff that they have, right? Aren't you glad for all the stuff that people have? Yeah, all the stuff. Well, look at about this man's stuff. It says, he says, this I will do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Here is a man. Took all the care in the world for the physical, but neglected his soul. Luke chapter 16. Another famous example. Almost think it was America 2019. Luke chapter 16, verse 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. Can you imagine the funeral? And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. By the way, those who teach this as a parable, number one, Jesus didn't say it was a parable. He said there's a... that these people actually existed. And even it gives the name of the person, Lazarus. And remember, and of course, but verse 25 puts it together. It says, and Abraham said, son, remember that in thy lifetime thou receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. In thy lifetime receiveth thy good things. Notice his success. Notice what he accomplished in life. He accomplished comfort. He had in comfort. He accomplished a good life. He accomplished a beautiful settings in life. He was successful. He was a very successful man in the physical. But like many people today, he neglected the most important part. He neglected his soul. Spent his whole life making sure that the physical was okay. Spent his whole life making sure he had that big bank account. Spent his whole life and was successful at taking care of the physical. But what did he neglect? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What a sad situation of reality. And this is not something that is new. This is something that's been taking place on this earth for a long time. People neglecting their soul. People taking all their time to take care of the physical and taking very little time to take care of their soul. And so, as we think of that, what must a man do to take care of his soul? What must a man do to take care of his soul? There's many things we can say, but first of all, man must take care of his sin. Man must take care of his sin. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin, the Bible says. There's only one provision for man's sin. That's the blood of the Messiah, the blood of the Lord Jesus. Man must recognize that sin is the problem of man's soul that has to be taken care of. And nothing else should come anywhere close to competing with that. Turn with me to Matthew 16, and we see all of that in picture here. In this context, in Matthew, where the Lord Jesus is talking about the problem of a man gaining the whole world and losing his own soul. Verse 24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? So what do we have here? We have an obvious principle that it is far more important to take care of your soul than to take care of the physical. And yet most people spend most of their life, if not all of their life, taking care of the physical, just like the rich man. Took his whole life and took care of the physical, but neglected his soul. What was he saying? He was denying the fact of who he is, who God made us. We just live in this body. Amen? Now, you know what? I was thinking about young people. I think it's probably pretty hard for children to figure out that they just live in their body. You know, I don't know. Been a long time since I was a kid. But you try to ask these children about the fact that, you know, distinguish between them and that they just live in their body. That's pretty deep, isn't it? But you know, when you get old, or you get older, you know what? All of a sudden you realize that you're just inside this body. You know? You just live inside this body. And this body is wearing out. But you're still alive. I never forget our neighbor, Mr. Rogers. He was, ever since I knew him, he was on oxygen from emphysema. And as the years went on, you know, the dial on the oxygen tank went up, you know. And at first he only had to have it at home. And pretty soon he couldn't even leave the house without an oxygen tank. And, you know, praise the Lord, he professed Christ as his Savior, came to church with his oxygen tank, and he got saved. And I think he did get saved. I remember a neighbor saying, that's amazing that Louis Rogers came to your church. He was known as the most ornery guy around. But, you know, I'd go over and visit him. And he was getting pretty bad. And he'd say, you know, I got some tractors out there in that shed out there. And he says, now, one of these days, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to work on those tractors. There's one of them, you know, it needs some work on the magneto. And, you know, I'll just get working on that and we'll get that tractor going. Well, he hadn't been able to get out to that shed for 5 to 10 years. But he was still thinking that he was going to be able to get out there and work on that. Well, you know what? He knew how to fix it, but his body wouldn't let him. His body wouldn't let him. He was still living. He was still alive. But his body was failing. Yeah, that's the reality. The soul lives on. I think of those how in the Bible, Revelation chapter 20. We have the word souls refer to people on this earth. In Genesis. But in Revelation chapter 20. We have people who died, who were martyred for Christ. And it says in Revelation chapter 20, verse 4, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast nor his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Here's these souls in heaven. Here's these souls that have died, but they're a soul. Amen? Because man has been created to have create a moral, spiritual being, responsible to God, and will live forever somewhere. Now, in Matthew 16, we see a couple important principles here. First of all, we see the principle of faith. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. You know, this is a great principle. To take care of your soul, a person must operate under the auspices of faith. must operate under the auspices of faith. Your body is something that you can see. Your soul is something you cannot see. The physical is something you can see. The spiritual is something you cannot see. The present is something that you can see. The future is something you cannot see. And the Bible says the principle of faith is the key principle. The rich man did not operate under the principle of faith. He operated on the principle of what he could see. What he could see, not on the principle of faith about what he couldn't see. Now, the principle of faith really is secondly in the fact that the rich man, he was operating on the principle of what he could see that he could gain. But you know, the spiritual life is the principle of giving up what you can see for what you cannot see. Giving up what you can see for the principle of what you cannot see. It didn't seem, you know, repentance doesn't seem like gaining, does it? Repentance doesn't seem like gaining, does it? Repentance seems like losing. But repentance is an act of faith. Is turning from what appeals to the flesh, appeals to the now, and trusting God for tomorrow. You know, Christian life is based on you putting your soul first. It's a principle of the spiritual first. It's a principle of faith versus sight. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So we have the principle of faith. We have the principle of that the soul must be first in your life. Your soul must be first. You know, the Bible is all about putting your soul first. All about putting your soul first. Why did God create the world in 6 days and rest on the seventh? It's all about the fact that man is a soul, and man, if left to himself, will neglect his soul. That's right. Man will neglect his soul. Now, you know, in World War II, they thought, we got to have these factories running 7 days a week. And of course, that was there was a big reason for that, big cause. But until that time, factories didn't run on Sunday. And they said, well, we're going to crank out what we need to crank out. But you know, when they did studies on it, you know what they found out? They found out it was counterproductive. They found out there was more accidents, more loss of work hours, the less productivity, because man wasn't made to work 7 days a week. Man was made to put God in his rightful place. It's a test of faith, isn't it? It's a test of faith. You know, every day is a test of faith. What are you going to put first in your life? What's going to be first? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. What is going to be first? The Bible? Prayer? Time with God? Is that going to be first? That's the step of faith, isn't it? Wow. Just think of all that time you're going to waste reading the Bible. Just think of all that time you could be producing something. Just think of all that time you could be planning. Just think of all that time you could be organizing your day. Just think about all that could be accomplished if you put work first and God somewhere else. It's a test of faith, isn't it? Is God first? Now the whole issue is, what is more important? Your soul or your body? What's more important? The temporal or the spiritual? What's more important? Your earthly life or your relationship to God? The principle of faith, the principle of that is associated with faith, obviously, is the principle of dying. Dying. Dying to our will. You know, that's what life is all about, isn't it? Anybody raising kids around here? Do they have a will? What's the secret to raising that child? The secret of raising that child is to be able to get their will surrendered to that which is right. Amen? That's right. It's a principle of the will. And it's the same principle, dying to self. Is the key principle of life. Your flesh says do this. Your will says do this. But life is all about putting God first. Life is all about dying to our will and putting God's will first. That's the whole picture. Because why? We are a soul. We are a soul. And the spiritual is the most important part of our life. I told this story. I met a dear African man, actually a citizen of Canada, on the plane to Africa, across the oceans. And we got at least an hour or longer conversation. And this dear man said, you know, I love money. Oh, I love money. I love money. I love money. I mean, if he didn't say it once, he said it 30 times. I love money. That's my problem. He says, I love money. Money, 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 money. Well, on the way back from Africa, I found my new friend on the same plane. And somewhere near the end of the flight, I was in the back of the plane, and he came back there, and he was sharing with me that he was successful in getting a new business started in Tanzania, and et cetera, et cetera, and that he loved money. And I shared with them this great verse in the Bible. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? No time for God, but plenty of time for money. And it was very interesting. I shared in Sunday school We were talking, and the stewardess was listening to us, and she said, "Sir, you know the reason that you love money, and the reason you love alcohol, is because you're empty. You're empty. And the only thing that can fill that emptiness, is truly filled, is Jesus Christ." And man became a living soul. What are you doing about your soul today? Your relationship to God. What about the health of your soul? What about God's plan for your life? What about the judgment? It's all about the fact that we are a soul. And our life is all about our Creator. And that we are created in His image, and we are created to serve Him. We are created to know Him. We are created to obey Him. We are created to have fellowship with Him. That's what life is all about. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So, as we think about this today, a very simple truth. How important is your soul to you? How important is your soul to you? How much of your time do you spend on your soul? How much time do you spend on your soul? Is your soul the number one priority of your life? What are you doing about your soul? It would be sad to end life, to die, and have not taken care of your soul. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you today that the whole issue of life really is about taking care of the soul. Lord, as we think of the world today, we think of famous people who have given their life to sin. And they've died great sinners. We think of people who've given their life to power. And many times very corrupt in that power. But they're going to die. What will it profit them? Lord, we think of a world that has the cart before the horse, forgetting that the blessing of America came from its morality and faith in God, and has instead chosen financial success instead of God. And Lord, every one of us are faced with this issue of we are taking care of our soul. And I pray that, Lord, that we'll consider this seriously. And while our heads are bowed and eyes closed, perhaps today is a day to get things adjusted in your life. Perhaps you're here today as a Christian and you say, you know, my Bible time, my devotions, they aren't given too much of a priority. Maybe you'd have to say that they're put off until the last moment of the day when you're way too tired to have them. Maybe they're short and many other things that we could say. But you have been convicted by the Spirit of God today that that needs to be first in your life. And it needs to be a big priority in your life. That every day you take care of your soul. Every day you minister to your soul. You meet with God. You read His Bible. You pray. You meditate on the Scripture. And the Lord is would like you to decide that that's going to be the first thing you do every day, is take care of your soul. Not that you forget it the rest of the day. Maybe you're a young person. Maybe you're an adult. Maybe things have slipped. But the Lord, today, the Lord is speaking to you, and you need to make a definite decision that you're going to put your soul first every day by God's grace. And just by an uplifted hand in response to the Lord is a decision. You say, you know, I'm making that decision today to make sure that I put my soul first every day in my life. Anyone here today? God spoke in your heart about that. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Perhaps you're here today and your plans have become first, and God's plan for your life has become second or non-existent. Maybe God has a will for your life. Maybe God has called you to the mission field. Maybe God has called you to serve Him. He called every one of us to serve Him. You don't have time to serve God. You don't have time, enough time to go to church. You don't have enough time to go soul winning. You don't have enough time to do work in the church. Everything else is more important. And the things of God, they get kind of pushed in a corner. And God is speaking to you today that you need to die to self, and you need to make sure that your soul and serving God and His will, it takes the priority over the other things that are trying to push God's work out of your life. And God has spoken to your heart about putting the spiritual first above all the demands of life. And God is speaking to your heart about that. Anyone here today? God has put that upon your soul. Amen. Anyone else? Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And of course, the big question, maybe you're successful in life, or maybe you're on the road to success. But if you died today, you're not sure you're on your way to heaven. All of a sudden, all that success would be meaningless. All that you have accomplished would be actually worthless, because you've neglected the most important thing, knowing for sure that you're on your way to heaven, knowing for sure all your sins are forgiven. And God is speaking to your heart today about today, that today, and you need to make a definite change in your thinking that you need to put at the foremost in your life this issue of salvation and having your sins forgiven and being ready to go to heaven. And today, you'd have to say you're not sure that you'd go to heaven. You're not ready to die. But today, you're making that decision to put your soul first and to make sure that you get that taken care of. And you say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm not ready to die. I need to get my life rearranged and put my soul first and find salvation in the Lord Jesus. Anyone here today, say, pray for me. I'm not ready to die, but I need to get my life rearranged and put my soul first. Anyone here? Lord, thank you for your word and for a simple truth that we can take home today. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And now, Lord, work in our hearts, work in the hearts of those made important decisions today. Lord, these are the basis of life, these important truths. And might you be glorified in the carrying of them out, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.